Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
We want to get your opinion on this, by the way. All you got to do is text or WhatsApp 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. I'm asking you about a united Ireland. Is it time? Do you believe we can do it? Do you believe it's a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Could we afford it? How do we fix everything? Would you be happy to surrender the anthem and the flag for something different, maybe, that represents both? You know, to adopt all the cultures and identities of people in Northern Ireland? If you are originally from Northern Ireland, or maybe you're listening in from Northern Ireland, from Belfast, or wherever it happens to be, and you identify as maybe loyalist, I'd like to hear from you too. Could you adapt? Would you be okay with that? I know you maybe class yourself as being British at the moment. Would you be okay being part of Ireland and being Irish? You could be still British and live in Ireland. You know what I mean? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Stephen, hi, how are you? Welcome along. Stephen, I don't know, United Ireland, is it a good time? Is it a good thing? Will it ever happen? Is it good or bad?
Well, first off, it's lovely to hear you back on the radio.
Thanks very much indeed, Stephen.
Good evening. I don't think there's ever going to be a good time, but there certainly is, an ever-present, fluctuating desire for a united Ireland. You know, like, it was the idea of the rebels back in the 1920s, and it's been something that has been wanted by a good amount of people either side of the border for most of their lives. You know, I think it is one of those things. Like, I'm 35. If it can't be done in my lifetime, it can't be done.
But do you actually think, I mean, you're a reasonably young person, Stephen. I don't really think about it. Do you think about it? Do you think many people are walking around, giving it a thought every now and again? God, it'd be nice to have United Ireland. Maybe through rose-tinted glasses, all right. But I don't think people are really thinking about it. Maybe some people are thinking about it more in the nationalist areas in Northern Ireland. But generally speaking, in the South, I don't hear that conversation.
It's definitely not at the forefront of my mind. I think everyone has more important things in their lives going on at the moment, more important because they're happening right now as opposed to some possible distant future, But I do think, as you said, it's almost a rose-tinted glasses perspective, or, that would be nice, to kind of, end 100 years of partition and everything else, I do think it's a good idea. And I think in my undergraduate for community news work, we did go up to Belfast and spoke to different community organizations and news organizations on both sides of the community.
So what was the attitude of nationalists? Obviously, we know they want a united Ireland, but from a loyalist point of view, if you were there and living in Northern Ireland quite peacefully and you're quite happy to identify as British, as many people in Northern Ireland, 50% of the population probably, roughly, I don't know. Or maybe it's a bit less now because many people just identify as Northern Irish, as I mentioned to Stephen earlier on. But if you were there and you're identifying as British...
The identities are so difficult to tag down because, you could be Protestant, but a nationalist and Catholic, but a loyalist and...
Do you think those loyalists would ever, ever accept a united Ireland? Would they be happy to be British living in Ireland?
I think they're... Certainly when we were talking to them, this is about, 5-6 years ago at least, they were much more concerned with just trying to build communities within themselves because they're literally up against each other and some of them are living on peace walls and things like that. It's just like they're still trying to just get to a point where the communities can be civil and live with each other kind of a thing. And there is a lot of cross-community work going on, thankfully, I think that's the sort of thing that you need to get to at some point in order to even broach the idea of a united Ireland with the people in the North, But like this is not going to be we vote in the morning and instantaneously everyone's a Republic of Ireland citizen and et cetera. This is going to take 20 years of a transition process away from away from supports from the United Kingdom to basically wean Northern Ireland off Great Britain, and but we have to pour shit tons of money into our systems to bring it up to their level, but also to create that willingness to want to merge the border. You know, I don't, as I said, like if it can't be done in 50 years, if somebody calls me back when I'm 85 and it hasn't been done, I don't think it can be done.
Yeah, you know? No, I get the because I get the feeling you're 100%
right. So many
right,
generational yeah. things built into the society, both sides of the border, that, you know, my grandparents are telling my parents, oh, you can't do this and you shouldn't trust them and this, that and the other. And I'm telling that to my kids and on and on and on. It perpetuates itself.
Well, see, there's two ways of looking at it. Now is the wrong time because some of the wounds are still healing. Or in the future is the wrong time because the longer you leave it, the harder it's going to be because more people are identifying as Northern Irish. And I said that to Stephen. I speak to a lot of people in Northern Ireland, young people as well, and young people don't identify as British or Irish. They identify as Northern Irish. So that's a new identity that's been created over the last...
You wait until that cohort kind of start to be a significant enough voice in the conversation. You know, I don't see it happening in the next 5 to 10 years is what I will say to you. As much as we actually should be having all of these conversations in the civil service and in community forums and citizens' assemblies or whatever way you want to discuss it, all of this should fucking be being discussed, you know.
It's like they're afraid to talk about it. But stay there for a second, Stephen. Let me go to Malachy. Hi, how are you?
No, good evening. How are you?
Good. Malachy, United Ireland, are you for it or against it? Do you like the idea of it? Does it sound good?
I'm for it. Straight away, my first point, right? Your last caller just said it. The loyalists will never accept a United Ireland. So why should we ever accept British rule in Ireland?
Well, we're at that point already. It's not like, Malachy, we're heading to British rule in Northern Ireland. It's already there.
Your last caller said it, and it's a shame the way it came, right? Because this is what happened. The British could never bait us. They could never. The Irishman always resisted. And now they're after putting us in a position where we're better off financially to not have our country together. So they couldn't bait us militarily, and now they're financially baiting us. It's all right to have the six counties up the north back to us. I have friends in the north, and they're Irish men. They consider themselves born and bred in Ireland. As your last caller said, the loyalists will never accept a United Ireland. Why should we ever accept them? They came here a couple of hundred years ago on ships. Their ancestors butchered our ancestors. That's what they done. They butchered them. They burned them. They raped them. That's what they done. There was never a famine either in Ireland. You hear these stories. Oh, the famine in Ireland. Was there ever a famine in England? No, there wasn't. Was there ever a famine in any of them other English nations? No, there wasn't. They took our food and they exported it.
Well, now let me... I don't want to go into too complicated conversation about the famine, but when you say they took our food, there was also the Irish farmers who were quite happy to take the British pound to give away the food and leave the Irish to starve.
Back in the 1920s, we got some bit of freedom. But the Irishman that took over 100 years ago...
But, Malachy, can I stop you in this conversation? Just let me just stop you for a second. See, here is part of the problem, and I'm not condemning what you're saying, and I know you're very passionate about it, and I understand completely the history behind it. But we will never, ever get to a United Ireland if we keep dwelling on the past. Ever.
Listen to me. Never mind the past, all right? Forget about it.
Well, you're the one bringing up the past, not me.
Because it's our history, Niall. We're always on about Germany and Adolf Hitler and all this. This is our history. This is our history. I'm proud to be Irish, and I consider myself Ireland. Like, and another thing, who has the audacity to say we should change our flag and change our national anthem? I'm proud of our flag, and I'm proud of our national anthem. I might be proud of our country, but I love our flag, and I love our national anthem. And the audacity of any Irishman to say, oh, we should change our flag. They have no consideration. They mustn't have done history at all in school. They mustn't have done history at all in school because they know everything about the rest of the world, but they know nothing about ourselves.
Well, hang on. You know, Stephen, Malachy typifies what I'm talking about, and I'm not disrespecting Malachy by saying that because I believe he's very passionate about what he believes in. But once people are that passionate on both sides, it'll never be resolved, Stephen.
Yeah, you see, this is the thing, and like it's as I said, that generational bias built into the conversation that is never really going to go away.
It's fact.
Sorry,
I ace history when I done my leave.
No, I'm absolutely not disputing historical facts or anything like that. I'm just saying
none of them are like me. I learned my Irish history was in school. I really took to it. Mm. I learned it.
Malachy, nobody is doubting what you're saying. I'm not challenging what you're saying. What I'm saying is, for it to happen, for a united Ireland to happen, for a border poll to be even triggered, but hang on, for it to happen, we all have to calm down. We all have to stop talking about the British coming in and slaughtering the Irish and yada, 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 yada. Because if that keeps coming up in conversation, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen because we just fight about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not disputing the historical fact. I absolutely am. I'm just pointing out that because so many people are so passionate on either side of the discussion, that sort of thing will always get in the way of a more moderate debate. And listen, don't get me wrong. I have cursed the Brits for 800 odd years of, you know, colonialism and things like that more than a couple of times. But at the same point, I do try and see more of the nuanced, actual on the ground understanding of what's going on. And the community workers up in Northern Ireland on both sides of the community are doing decades of work to try and just get them used to living next to each other and developing that cross community spirit to unionize and harmonize Northern Ireland, never mind mixing it in with the Republic or, you know, building greater ties to Great Britain and things like that. They purely care that their neighbors aren't killing each other.
I mean, you know, Malachy, I was in Bangor over the July fortnight, which is a very famous time in Northern Ireland. And there were nationalists there watching the parades. So what Stephen is saying is correct. People are learning to live together. So that's a good start and a good sign.
Niles. I know I'm going back into history. This is fact. We're accepting it. No, people don't care anymore. We are
But they're living. They're living there. But hang on. You know, the loyalists who live in Northern Ireland, the people who identify as British who live in Northern Ireland. That's now generational. It doesn't really matter anymore how they ended up there. It's now generational. And that has to be respected. Before you can ever have a border poll, that has to be respected.
Niall, it's not about your beliefs. Do you know what it is now? It's financially and stuff. I'm in the trades. I'm working with great tradesmen from the north. The lads come up and down Monday to Thursday to go back on a Friday to get their dole above. And I can't. Can you knock them for that? No, you can't. So financially, they're all better off to be part of the UK. But this is my point. Isn't it a shame that we're in a position that the lads are financially better off in the UK, but they're Irish. Like they want to be a part of the Republic. But that's the position we're in. You know what I'm trying to say? Financially, we're better off being part of Britain. I can't fathom it. I can't fathom that.
Well, you have to understand the economics of Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, unfortunately, doesn't have a huge amount of investment. I mean, even only recently, Harland and Wolff announced the closure. Again, mind you, they've done that before. So
people are on about union community. 99% of the unionist community have Irish passports as well. Why do they have the Irish passport? Because this suits them to have two passports. That's why.
Well, that's another argument. Okay, but Stephen and Malachy, stay with me for a second if you can. I've got to take a quick break. I'll be back in a second. I need to go to Mickey and also Bernie as well. Well, stay with me there for a second, Malachy and Stephen. Just let me go to Mickey as well. Mickey, hi, how are you?
Hello, from Gweedore. It's myself.
From Gweedore. Mickey, you used to be a member of Sinn Féin at one stage, yeah?
Not Sinn Féin, I'll correct you there, Republican Sinn Féin.
Oh, okay, the Republican Sinn Féin. And I know a lot of people identify them differently nowadays because they don't agree with a lot of the policies.
That happened back in 1986 when Rory O'Brady actually seen the way Sinn Féin was going. And he stood up in the Ardèche, and when Sinn Féin wanted to take seats in the Parliament of Ireland, and Rory O'Brady put against it and says, well, once you go inside there, you're going to have to tow their lines. And as you can see, Sinn Féin to this day are doing it that way.
I mean, what is your Sinn Féin and your belief in Sinn Féin think of Martin McGuinness shaking the Queen's hand?
Absolutely disgusting. That's not a Republican action.
But see, Mickey, I'm assuming you'd like a united Ireland.
Oh, yeah. But this is the thing, right? Look, I was involved with Republican Sinn Féin about, 15, 16 years. And I think a long time ago, you were on a different radio show and you had, it was something about Garda harassment. And I was living in Dublin at the time. And I'd be going to a bus stop to bring the kids to school. There was the special branch cars pulling up at the side, holding me at the side of the road just for the fact that I was a member of Republican Sinn Féin.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But it comes down to click a couple of points that you went to there. I have a very good friend who I spend a couple of nights a week playing FIFA with. He lives in Bangor, actually, where you were talking about.
Yeah.
He's a Protestant lad. His dad was actually a screw in the Longkesh, the time of the hunger strikers, and they had to move out of houses. And me being 42 years of age, on paper, me and him should not be friends. But what you would say, he doesn't class himself as British or Irish. He classes himself as Northern Irish.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of younger people do. There is a, I would suggest nearly a third of people class themselves as Northern Irish. But here's the thing. We would all like, as I said to Stephen earlier on, it's kind of rose-tinted glasses stuff. We'd all like to see a happy, 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 United Ireland, 32 counties. That would be wonderful. That's the future, isn't it? But that can never happen. As long as people keep bringing up the past, it can. I'm not saying forget the past, by the way. I'm not suggesting that for a minute, because many people died. And, you know, many people died for this country. But I'm not saying forget the past. But we can't keep bringing it up all the time. And we can't turn around and say things like, for example, when I asked you about Martin McGuinness shaking the Queen's hands and you were disgusted by that. That can't happen, because we have to communicate.
The reason why I was disgusted about that is because he classed himself as a Republican. Because in the Republican Constitution, there's a lot of different things that was in the Republican Constitution as an Irish Republican. One of them was you never take a seat in any government that's not a 32 county government.
But is that not just an olive branch? Just like when the Queen visited Ireland for the first time, that was an olive branch. You know, these are all just olive branches. These are ways forward, not backwards.
Okay, can we ask you?
Yeah, sorry, Steve, you want to say something there? Go ahead.
No.
Maliki, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a quick point on that one there. And, like, simple thing, proclamation. If we don't believe in the proclamation, and the proclamation is the proper, as your man is on about there, the Republican thing, blah, blah, blah.
But I'm not on about the proclamation, I'm on about the Republican Constitution.
The GPO every year, our proclamation that was written by the leaders of the 1916 Rising. With their beliefs in it. Why do we read that out every year and stuff like that?
It wasn't a proclamation. I'm talking about the Irish Republican Constitution, that when, if you're a member of a Republican institution, should have said, like the Sinn Féin, all that, but they broke all theirs already.
I wouldn't, if it was me personally, and I was Martin McGuinness, I wouldn't have shook her hand either. And it's not a personal thing, it's just...
Well, it is personal. Well, it is. I mean, you know, when Martin McGuinness did that, there was a huge anticipation, by the way, around that at the time, I remember, because I was actually working on the radio at the time. And there was huge anticipation as to whether he was going to shake her hand. It was like the famous time when Gay Byrne refused to shake Gerry Adams' hand. Do you remember that?
That's but Gerry Adams and the rest of them weren't allowed on radio for how long?
I know. That was part of the Ortiz rules at the time because of what was going on. That was never a way forward for Ortiz to do that, right? That was the wrong thing to do. But in saying that, what I'm saying is that anticipation, whether Gerry Adams would shake her hand, and the same way the anticipation is, would the Queen visit Ireland? These were all steps forward, not steps backward. You're seeing them as a backward step, lads.
I get that. Well, right, Niall, there's one point that I want to put across, and I used to put it to a few people, younger people, I'm still, compared to your own age, I'll say, I'm still pretty young, but I remember, like, me as Republican Sinn Féin, part of my job was to recruit people for Republican Sinn Féin. And there was one thing, you know, you'd go to commemoration, you'd have your day out, whatever, and then you'd have a function afterwards, raise money for prisoners, etc. And you get the odd young fellas there going, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I'm relaxed there. But there was always a question I used to put people. It was, what do you think would happen tomorrow morning if the British turned around and said, there you go, there's the six counties back? Do you think that the loyalists that have been around for generations upon generations are going to sit back and take it?
No, they wouldn't. Well, let me just throw that question to Stephen. It's an interesting question, Stephen. Hang on a second, Mickey. Stephen, you know, if they turned around tomorrow and said, the British turned around, Westminster said, there you go, we're sick of this, costing us too much money, as in from January the 1st, he's going to have it back, we don't want it anymore, we're not responsible for it. What do you think would happen?
The loyalists are going to put up with that.
Yeah,
I'd say most of Northern Ireland, particularly the likes of Belfast and Derry, would pr- probably tear themselves apart if, because the, but the Brits won't do that, is the thing. They're too wedded to the idea of the United Kingdom. They're too dependent on all of the support they get from the North to keep themselves going. This whole thing of, you know, oh, the Brits are going into recession and they're going to get rid of Northern Ireland because it's too much of a cost on their economy is a load of shite. They've been in and out of recessions for 100 years and they still haven't gotten rid of the six counties. You know,
well, I mean, they are in serious financial trouble at the moment, Stephen, as you're well aware, United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and Northern Ireland is costing somewhere between 16 and 24 billion. There's estimates generally, but somewhere between 16 and 24 billion every single year.
Yeah, and the national debt is in the hundreds of billions for the UK. So what?
Well, they're on the but the difference is now they're not part of Europe anymore or part of the EU. They have to carry that debt and that burden on their own.
But Niall,
they will have to carry it. But this is what I mean. It's just like if there was a referendum, and if it won that we get the six counties back, it's the same as Brexit. It is going to take a decade, if not two, to wean Northern Ireland off Great Britain, because we can't support them ourselves. You know.
Yeah. So the point is, Mickey. Hypothetically, I know you're saying hypothetically, with their hand back in the morning. It could never
support
happen.
Support the six counties and keep it going.
Niall, this one's in just what the other guy just said there, yeah? Like with the border, with the hard border that they were going to do with Brexit. What happened there when they were talking about the hard border?
That would have never happened. Hold on for a second. Boris Johnson was waffling on that time. That would have never happened. It would have never happened.
You've seen Republican groups that haven't been heard in a while coming out saying, yeah, well, that's not going to happen. It's going to bring paramilitaries back on the street.
Of course it would.
And I think, in my mind, as a local, I still class myself as an Irish Republican man, even though I'm not involved in that in a long time. I see that what will happen there is if the counties were handed back over, the occupied six counties were handed back over in the morning, you're going to have all loyalist groups coming together and there'll be bombings and shootings once again.
I don't deny that would happen if it was done in that manner. Stay there for a second, Mickey and Stephen. Let me go to Bernie. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, Niall. Personally, I feel that who would want to be attached to us the way we are at the moment?
that's probably the best thing I've heard said all night. Yeah, absolutely. We're a bit of a mess, aren't we?
We are. Like, I mean, let's hold our hands up here. We've got a government who are handicapped in special needs. Sorry, but they are. We've got reliant on these taxes they're going to claim from Apple for all going to fix the whole country when they can't even fix what's actually happening at the moment. Who would want to come here and, you know, be part of us again? Like, there's so much going on that's wrong here at the moment that we have to fix ourselves before we could even hold an olive branch to the north or try and fix any kind of negotiations. Nobody up there in the right mind would want to be joined to us. Bad knowledge the shit is in England. Do you really want to be attached to the shit that's here in Ireland at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, there is a whole... That was a question I was talking to Stephen Breen about there a few minutes ago, and I was asking, like, you know, with the health service, for example, and admittedly, the NHS is not as good as it used to be, but it's still a hell of a lot better than the HSE. And it's also free. Property prices are lower in the north than they are down here. You know, there's lots of positives about being in the north. Now, there is lots of negatives too, by the way. The wages are not as high. So that's another thing. And people are very reliant on the state. More aligned probably than, I think Northern Ireland has the highest rate of disability per head of population. So, and that's to do with obviously the troubles and everything else. So in saying that, yeah, I can see problems on both sides from that point of view. Why would anybody want to be part of us? Or why would we want to be part of that too? Some people might argue.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I carry the generational history of, because I'm in my 60s, I have it. But my family in their 30s, my children, they have no idea what happened, really. Let's be honest, they don't. They've had a relatively free Northern Ireland, republic. They don't really know. They know their history, the basic rudiments of the history of Ireland and the North, but they don't really have the history of where they're so their family's going up to, you know, their husbands or their sons going up to the to work on the border, where the guards were or the Irish army were, you know, and there was bullets shot on a regular basis. They were involved in bomb, you know, bomb blasts that went off, and so they don't have that history that we have.
But again, as I said to Mickey, if we keep bringing up that history, it'll never happen. If we keep talking about it.
No, but like now, you and I are of the same, unfortunately, decade. Do you know what I mean? So we have very fresh history of what happened in the recent past between the north and the south of Ireland. And it's going to take us a while to get over because there's so many families that were left bereft with all that went on there, both north and south. And that pain is still very, very raw for so many people. Like, that's going to take a while for that to ever be, you know, acknowledged or accepted on both sides.
Well, hang on, both of you there for a second, Stephen and Bernie. I want to go to Micheál quickly before I go to the news. Micheál, hi, how are you?
We're back at your holiday.
Yeah, I am back. Thank you. Gee, good as a
tattoo.
Absolutely. Whatever you said there, I agree with. So, Micheál, I mean, you would be a true patriot. There's no doubt about that.
100%.
Okay, do you see it in your lifetime, United Ireland?
Well, this day is not in place too, but I can see United Ireland, give or take 8, 10 years. The political world is changing. I wouldn't give out a hell about what happened so many years ago. I witnessed it a lot further back than you did. But the point about it is, diplomacy is taking place. And even though there are hardliners on either side, in the north, there have to be hardliners, and they can burst out at any minute. But I think the sense of diplomacy will take precedence over everything. And that, okay, that the English don't want the North Islanders cost them absolutely mad millions. And, well, I don't know if we can afford to have them either. But the point is, a compromise is going to have to be reached somewhere.
You're being very optimistic there. You're saying within 8 to 10 years. That's very optimistic.
Yes, 10 years. Yes, the West politics are going at the minute. Now, there's a political wing there at the minute. We're going mad for it, even though it wouldn't be my favourite. It's none of my business. But the point about it is, I can see it changing. There's been massive, mighty change. Fair to us about the Herman Bell Clinton and a few of them, just to name two of them, and John Hume, like the Lord and Master. But the point is, there was massive changes. People said it couldn't happen. Yes, it did happen. Take a look at the changes that happened. Now, those changes are sinking in. And the modern youth of today, the good lady said there that our children today don't remember what happened in North. Well, I know because I was there. And I'm as fresh as the day as I was about her.
But the pilot, what were you doing there? Were you living there or were you operating there? What were you doing?
I was employed by the government in different areas in the border area.
Oh, okay.
I was nothing to do with the tourist or anything. I was first hand there because I saw North what happened. And unfortunately, some girlfriends of mine, including a detective there, got scrapped recently.
Right.
A lovely, what a gentleman. But the point, these things happen. But now the point about it is, you take a Gaddafi gets locked up, and everybody got the Queen of England didn't get locked up, and she was charged with the state. But no, that forgiveness has taken place. It's sinking in. The present generation and last generation, the one we're in, and the next one, they will not want any crap. They will want peace, whatever way it comes, and they will be civilized. They will approach it in the civilized.
Okay, can I ask a quick question of all of you, just quickly before I go into the news? In relation to the border poll, we would have to have a referendum here in Ireland for Ireland to even be involved in the referendum. So we would have to change our own constitution. Well, there's arguments over that, by the way. There are people who argue against that. But anyway, and that would be under Article 27 of the Constitution. We would have to call what they call an ordinary referendum, which is called by the Shannon. Now, do you think that the people of the Republic of Ireland should be allowed to vote in a border poll for United Ireland? Yeah, just yes or no, Micheál?
Yes.
Stephen?
Yes.
Bernie, do you believe the people of the Republic of Ireland should be part of that vote?
Yes, I do.
Okay, interesting. All right. Listen, guys, Micheál, Stephen, Bernie, I'm sorry for cutting you all a bit short, but got to go into the news. Thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate it. Somebody else says, we won't have a choice. Yeah, well, we can, because it was strictly said, it was actually in the Good Friday Agreement. It's part of the Good Friday Agreement. A border poll, we could vote on it in the south, and the way that would be done would be by the Shannon obviously calling what they call an ordinary referendum. We would have to first of all have a constitutional referendum that would have to be held on any amendment to the constitution, which, as I say, would have to pass through both chambers of the Oireachtas and the Irish Parliament. It doesn't specify particularly, by the way, a parallel mechanism to be triggered both south and north. But we could do that and be part of that. And according to the guys, we should be part of that. Listen, thank you very much indeed. And thank you very much to my guest earlier on as well. I really, really do appreciate Paul Breen coming on to talk to us. I did say Stephen earlier on because I got mixed up between him and a reporter in the Irish Mirror, I think it is. Anyway, Paul, thank you very much indeed. And thank you to all the people who come on to have their opinion on it.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.